Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. The sermon for today, the third Sunday after the Epiphany, I've titled, The Temple of God is in Our Heart. It was written by Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. People have been setting aside places in which they can worship their gods for as long as we have any history to know about. Abraham set up an altar to God. The Hebrews worshiped God at various shrines before they went wandering about. God lived in a tent while they wandered, and afterwards, and he moved into a permanent house around 1000 B.C. God's house got torn down about 400 years later. It was rebuilt about 100 years after that. King Herod the Great fixed it up in the 1st century B.C., and then the Romans tore it down once and for all in 70 A.D. It was a peculiarity of the Old Testament law that it allowed the Jews to worship fully in only one specific place, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Once the mount got taken away from them in the 1st century A.D., the Jews had no access to the only place where they could make the animal sacrifices God's law required of them. Places of worship matter. Jesus gets into a weird debate in St. John's Gospel with a woman who has been married many times and wants to get the focus of discussion off of her sins and onto a less threatening topic. She says, "You Jews worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans worship on Mount Gerizim. I wonder which one of us is right." Jesus tells her, "We Jews are right, but that isn't going to matter much longer, because the time is coming when all of us are going to be able to worship God anywhere and everywhere, not just in one specific place." He was talking about the time after Pentecost, the time which has extended from about 30 AD until now, a time when God is everywhere, and so we can get in contact with Him and worship Him everywhere, at all times and in all places. This is a day on which we can give thanks to God for giving us the inclination and the perseverance to find this place of worship and to make completely our own and God's. We can consecrate St. Andrew and St. Margaret of Scotland today because it is paid for. That was Archbishop Calhoun's home parish, and they just merged two churches, and I'll tell you. Years leading up to 1996, during which the congregations were separate, we had two sets of bylaws, and two budgets, and two building funds, and two different sets of paranoia. Seemed like a dream right now. We combined the congregations, put the budgets together, moved in, worked to dispel the paranoia, started worshiping, agreed on a set of bylaws, redecorated, and now have paid off the mortgage. That all happened while we continued to pay for all of the things that go on in and flow out of this building. And all this happened with a very, very few people leaving. That is a remarkable accomplishment. People here were open to the Holy Ghost's leading. Who could ask for anything more? Jesus cleanses the temple in this morning's gospel, somehow that didn't match up, and tries to rid it of the money changers who are charging exorbitant exchange rates and the sacrificial animal salesmen who are charging far more than their merchandise is worth. Not bad. The cleansing of the temple is not a once and for all matter. Jesus wants to be cleansing our temples all the time. And I'm not talking about hiring a proper cleaning crew. God will continue to bless what we have accomplished for Him here as long as we rededicate ourselves continually to do what God wants us to do here. Celebrate the sacraments. Preach and teach the word. Help people grow in grace. Take care of the poor. The real and final temple of God is in our hearts. He comes to live inside us by His Holy Spirit when we get baptized. The Christian life is a continual commitment to let Jesus cleanse that temple too, to let Him do His work of cleaning us up and turning us to His Father, which makes us proper temples of His Holy Spirit. Let us ask God to help us look at this great day, not as the end of something, but as the glorious new beginning of something more. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as His most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.